Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
Doing good. We found, the wait is over. We finally know who the Titans have picked, so it's a good day.
It is a great day. The wait is over. We talked about this before, but it just seems like so much longer this year. You know, after last year, the Titans getting in the playoffs, winning a playoff game, then they fired Mike Mularkey, had a coaching search. So we had all of that stuff to talk about before we ever got into draft coverage. This year we went straight from week 17 into draft coverage. So it was like, it seemed like an eternity. So we finally got the answer tonight to who the Titans pick would be at 19. So we're going to talk about that, obviously, in this show, and then kind of give you a preview of what you can expect tomorrow. Before we do that, remind you, we write for MediaCityMiracles.com, where we cover the Titans for SB Nation. So you can check us out there. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertTN. You can get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search out Locked On Titans, and you will find us there. We also have a voicemail line. So if you want to give us feedback on the Simmons pick or anything we talk about or just whatever, 615-787-8762. Call in there. Leave us about a minute-long message, and we'll try our best to get that into a show next week. All right, so the Titans took Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle from Mississippi State, with the 19th pick. You know, obviously there's a lot of question marks surrounding this pick. You have the torn ACL from earlier this season, so we pretty much know that he's not going to be available at the beginning of the season. A lot of people are saying he's not going to be available at all in 2019. I don't think that's the case. I think, you know, 8 months after a torn ACL, a guy can be back to pretty much full strength. So I do think we see him this year, but I think that he probably starts the season on PUP. Maybe don't see him until after the bye. You obviously have the off-the-field incident that ESPN apparently took the whole, you know, however long after the Titans picked Simmons to talk about. An ugly incident, no doubt, you know, but something that happened three or four years ago. By all accounts, with everybody that the Titans have talked to, he's changed from that. It was a mistake. I don't really hear to talk about that. You can draw your own conclusions as far as that's concerned. We'll mainly focus on the football part of this here. I will say one more thing about that. Just keep in mind the Titans have Amy Adams Strong, a female owner, who would have had to sign off on this, so she was comfortable with it. But again, you draw your own conclusions there. Let's talk about Jeffrey Simmons, the football player. Terry, what's your reaction to what Simmons is going to bring to this team on the field?
Well, you're getting a top 10 player. You know, every analyst out there has said that. If he didn't blow out his knee, if he didn't have this off-the-field thing lingering over him, he might have gone top 5. But you're getting an elite talent in this draft, and, you know, we've talked about it. It seemed like every question we got was about Simmons in this draft process, you know, whether or not he was going to be there at 51. Titans end up taking him at 19. So 6'4", 300 pounds, finally some help for Jarrell Casey, who really hadn't had it his entire career in Tennessee. He's been, you know, fighting through double teams for, what, 6, 7, 8 years now, it seems. You know, he's been successful with it, but adding Simmons into this mix is just going to make him, you know, that much better. So, like you said, we don't know when he's going to play. He's not going to go through training camp. Going to have to be a little patient through this process. But ACLs are not once were. You know, you see guys coming back from ACL injuries 6 months, 8 months now. It used to be a full year, no doubt. But he did that in February. So, yeah, I don't think it's unrealistic to say this guy's going to be back in sometime in October, you know, maybe even on the field at the midway point of the season.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We talked about this when we talked about the schedule release. If you go and look at the way the Titans schedule sets up, you know, they have the bulk of their division games after their bye. So when you look at starting in November, you go Jaguars, November 24th, Colts December 1st, Texans December 15th, and Texans again December 29th. So you've got four of those of your six division games coming at from the end of November on. And like you're saying, I really do think that Simmons will be available for that stretch run. Now, you know, listen, we've seen what happens when these guys miss training camp. It takes them a little bit more time and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I don't think that we should fully expect that what we're going to see from Simmons whenever he is on the field to be what the Titans are ultimately going to get in him. But I do think he can come in and make an impact. I think that, like you said, they finally have somebody to take attention away from Jarrell Casey, and that's been the biggest problem. I mean, you know, they gave Daquan Jones a bunch of money last offseason, and to Jones's credit, he did play better at the end of the year before he had the injury. But I think a lot of that is just because so much of the attention was focused on Jarrell Casey, and this one it gives Daquan, Austin Johnson, whoever, off the field a little bit, which I think is nothing but a good thing, because those guys have underperformed, or at least it just have been non-factors for the most part when they've been on the field. So you get less snaps from those guys whenever Simmons is ready, and you have somebody else the team has to account for, that the opposing team has to account for. And you cannot overstate how big that's going to be. You cannot overstate how important it is that there's going to be a focus up front besides Jarrell Casey. That opens things up for Jarrell Casey. It opens things up for Harold Landry. It opens things up for whoever else they have rushing off of the edge. So, I mean, I think he's a guy that can create penetration from the middle of the offensive line. And that's one of the things, I mean, one of the biggest recipes for success right now. You get that push back and get the quarterback off of his spot. And I think he has the ability to make everybody around him better. Like you said, he's a guy that could have been a top 10, could have been even a top 5 pick if you don't have the ACL tear. I was listening to John Robinson. He was on with the Titans radio guys after the pick was made. And, you know, basically saying Simmons was the guy they liked. You know, they asked him, well, you know, how did you feel towards ACL? And Robinson was like, you know, well, I mean, it was a little bit bittersweet. He's like, you know, we hate it for the kid because obviously that sets him back. But, you know, basically John Robinson said, hey, now we think we might have a chance to get him at 19, where we didn't think that was possible before. So obviously not something they were rooting for, but put him in that position. And, again, he's going to do a lot of things for this defense when he's healthy and on the field.
Yeah, I think you got to look at how the board fell, too. Big part of the equation for me. Let's just start at 13. Christian Wilkins goes to Miami. You know, like we were talking about before we hopped on here, the board had fallen really well to this point. Then at 13, Wilkins goes. At 14, Chris Lindstrom goes. That's higher than anyone thought he would go to Atlanta. Haskins goes 15. Brian Burns, 16. That's a guy that had a lot of top 10 hype, and he was starting to tumble, and we were starting to get our hopes up there. That would have been an instant answer on the edge. He goes 16 to Carolina. Then the Giants take Lawrence. Garrett Bradbury goes 18. So both of our guys, Lindstrom and Bradbury, who we've talked about for months as being potential fits, potential Josh Klein replacements, go before the Titans can even pick. There's no real pass rusher there. You had the Montez Sweat deal with the heart issue that left everything in doubt for him. He ends up going 26. But, you know, nothing else really made sense for the Titans. You know, we were talking about Hollywood Brown. You know how we feel on that. You know, a smaller guy with Liz Frank injury. What's the positional value of receiver with how deep this receiver class is? So when you pair all of that together, this pick just makes a ton of sense. You know, there was no real difference maker on the defensive front other than Simmons. So, looking at it from that perspective, I don't know how the Titans do better tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the way there was a point there where you're like, all right, man, they're going to have so many of these guys that we've talked about, so many of these guys that we've seen in different mock drafts, you know, the people that weren't being ridiculous and mocking a corner and a tight end and all that stuff, Wilkins, Bradbury, Lindstrom, like you said. It looked like they were going to have a choice of all of those guys, Burns, and then all of a sudden they're all gone, and so you kind of had to reset a little bit. But the way it fell, this just seemed to make the most sense. Because we talked about it when we did the Locked On draft, I did the SB Nation writer's draft. Bradberry was our pick in both of those mocks because it was just what made sense. It was just that was the best value for what had come off the board at 19. And then, you know, in this draft, once he's gone, it just kind of opened up some other things. So, I mean, I think it all worked out pretty well. You would have liked to have a few more choices there. But with the way things fell, I think the Titans had to be pretty pleased with what they came away from here. All right, coming up, we will talk a little bit about what this looks like for tomorrow, kind of resetting the Titans' needs and all of that stuff. Before we do that, tell you about ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard, multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter sends your job to 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, so now we start to turn our attention to day two of the NFL draft. We're recording this as the first round is ending up. We're through 30 picks currently. It looks like we talked a lot about how the Titans probably weren't going to go receiver in the first round for a multitude of reasons, but they do need to add weapons on offense. And the way that this draft is set up so far, it looks like there's going to be a lot of quality wide receivers available in the second round. Now, the Titans don't pick a 51, so, I mean, there's a lot that can change between, you know, when the second round starts and the Titans are actually on the clock. But, you know, as we sit right here at pick 30, you've only had one wide receiver off the board in Marquise Brown. So it really looks like the Titans are going to have the opportunity to get a quality player there in the second round, and then you can still add that interior offensive lineman possibly in the third round, a guy that you can probably at least bring in and can have a chance to start for you next year.
There's a fascinating conversation going on right now in Titans draft room. I'm glad I don't have to make this call because you look at the receivers left, and again, we've got two picks left as we're recording this, but in Kill Harry, Debo Samuel, DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Paris Campbell, they're all still available. Just wild. I didn't think we'd be saying all that. You know, even guys like Hakeem Butler still on the board. So I think there's going to be a huge run of receivers in the second round. Still some top flight guys, in my opinion, that you can go get. So you've kind of got to weigh that out against getting a guard who you need. You know, you don't currently have a rock solid starter there. You've got guys like Connor McGovern, Drew Samia left, and Michael Dieter from Wisconsin. Guys that we've heard, guys that we've seen connected to pick 51. So I don't know. I'm not real comfortable taking a receiver at 51 and waiting on getting a potential starter in the third round.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And then now the Falcons have traded to 31, so I would assume they're not going to take a receiver. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch because, and we talked about this, and I have been, I mean, we both have been firm on this. They have to walk away from the first 2 days of the draft with an interior offensive lineman that has the opportunity to start. And so, like you're saying, then you got to weigh the chances of being able to get that guy in the third round if you do go receiver in the second round. And again, you know, as we sit here, we don't know how the picks in front of the Titans are going to play out in the second round. Maybe there's not a run of receivers. Maybe a lot of these guys are still sitting there at 51, and then you think, okay, maybe we can wait until the third round, and we're still going to get a player that can step in there. Do they like some of these tight ends? I mean, we said all along tight end was ridiculous at 19, but I don't think it's ridiculous as we get later into the draft, you know, a guy that can come in and help you if Jonnu doesn't continue to take the steps he thought he was going to. if Delanie Walker doesn't come back from his injury 100%. I mean, there's a lot of different ways they can go, but I still think they have to get a guy that at least can come in and compete to start at guard before tomorrow is over, or, you know, Friday. So that would be the biggest thing for me as they watch how this all plays out. It was interesting. I mean, like we said, you had Lindstrom, you had Bradbury go. And Lindstrom was a guy we talked a lot about, at least the Titans. Not necessarily that they would take him, but you know that they had more information on him than anybody else would. But he was off the board by the time they came on the clock. So it's just been kind of an interesting day. And then you've still got a bunch of these tackles available. Is there one of those guys that is going to keep kind of sliding down the board? They think they can move inside. So yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. And I think that, you know, we get so excited for the first day of the draft, and obviously, you know, the first round is really exciting. But when we, you know, when this first round is over, and we sit down and we look at, you know, best players available and all that kind of stuff, there are still going to be a lot of really good names on the board, and there's going to be like what 10 or 11 guys that we saw consistently going in the first round of mock drafts that are still on the board. So, you know, tomorrow is really just as important as today was.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we both feel like they still have to add two starters, you know, which is strange because I think they plugged a lot of holes there, but I still think they have to add another receiver. What I don't want them to do is to take a pass rusher, because once you get into the second round pass rusher, you know, Harold Landry's kind of a different deal there. There was something up with his medicals. They've got to have the athleticism to get after the passer. I just don't think those guys in the second, third round have that juice in them. So I'd rather see them hold off until next year, maybe address that next season's draft, and maybe can sign another Band-Aid like Cam Wake. But I think you make a good point on the offensive tackles, guys like Cody Ford, Dalton Reisner. I thought those two might be in play at 19, you know, just seeing how everything fell. Didn't really know how they felt about Simmons. Those two could have easily, you know, been the pick at 19 and come in and kicked inside the guard and been the answer and been the starter there. So it's interesting. Which way are you going? You know, at 51, gun to your head, you've got Deebo Samuel on the board, or you can pick an offensive guard. Which way are you going?
If it's me, I go with the guard. I don't know. I have this thing with receivers, and, you know, we talked a lot about Hollywood Brown. He may be good in the NFL. I just don't think he would have been good here. And, yeah, I mean, we talked about the reasons that he might not be good in the NFL at all. But I we've never figured out how to use those guys here. So I think I'm a little bit gun-shy on that. But, again, they don't have a starter at right guard right now. You've got enough receivers that you can run out there. I mean, you've got Corey Davis. You've got Adam Humphries. You've got Taywan Taylor, who, they probably still have a little bit of faith in. You got Tajay Sharpe, serviceable. So, I mean, you've got some guys there. You don't have a right guard right now. So I think that if you're not going to take that guy at 51, you've got to be really confident that the guy you're going to take in the third round is going to be there. And I don't know if you can be or not. So that's kind of where I sit. I mean, you kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, it's tougher for me. I mean, I'll be honest. You're talking about the difference in a Deebo and Arcega Whiteside versus, you know, who we're talking about, Kelvin Harmon, Andy Isabella, Emmanuel Hall in the third. You know, I think the drop off is kind of significant there. But at the same time, I see where you're coming from. It's like we've said all along, you've got to come out of this draft with a starter at right guard. So you've got Kevin Pamphile right now. Maybe you can kick Kelly inside, but they seem opposed to that idea. You know, that would certainly make things easier. I just want some help from Marcus Mariota. I really don't want to go through another season, you know, talking about, well, if this guy would have caught the ball, you know, we'd have a different opinion of Marcus Mariota. So I hope they address it. It's just an embarrassment of riches there in that second round. I just think it's going to be hard to pass on one of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, coming up to finish up the show, we'll talk a little bit about what the rest of the teams in the division did in round one. And we haven't addressed the Drew Lock rumor, so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. All right, so starting with the Drew Lock rumor, did you ever buy that? I mean, to me, that was ridiculous. I'm not to say that they couldn't take a quarterback in this draft if there was a guy they were really in love with, but I never John Robinson was not falling in love with Drew Lock. Like that just never made sense to me.
I never bought it, but I'll be honest, once he got past 11, I started to sweat a little bit. Yeah, I mean, because just the way it was falling, you know, if you were going to do something like that, your board had kind of been cleared off if they didn't like Simmons there. So if you were going to do something like that, it kind of sort of made sense. Of course, it didn't to me and you because we're believers in Marcus Mariota. You've brought in Ryan Tannehill. You're kind of going all in this season. You know, and then long term, I just don't buy drafting Drew Lock there. You know, you've got this stellar quarterback class next year. You've got Tua coming out. You've got Justin Herbert. You've got Trevor Lawrence in 2 years. I just didn't like the idea of pigeonholing yourself in there, and it just did not make any sense to me.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, because when Daniel Jeremiah threw it out there, he was throwing it out there as, here's all the crazy stuff that I'm hearing. Good luck predicting this draft. I mean, that's basically what he said. But then when Peter King mentioned it, that was when I was kind of like, okay, you know, like he's been connected to John Robinson in the past. That's when I started to get a little bit nervous, but it just never, I don't know, it never really made sense to me. And I was going to have a lot of trouble if that's what happened. And again, not because they took a quarterback, but because of the quarterback that they would have taken in Drew Lock. So that's kind of where I was on that. All right, finishing up with what the other teams did. The Jaguars, man, I was so pissed when Josh Allen is still on the board at 7. Like, I wouldn't have thought in my wild, like, in anything that we looked at, any of the mocks. I mean, he wasn't making it past 4 in any of that stuff. And then, of course, the Raiders go way off the board and pick Furl, however you say his name. You know, a guy that was consistently at least getting in range to the Titans, sometimes falling past the Titans in mock drafts. They go off the board there. You got the Giants taking Daniel Jones. I mean, so just you got the dumb teams being dumb in front of the Jaguars, and they luck into a guy that, you know, just looks like he's going to be a star, looks like a really good football player. So not the greatest thing, the way that thing fell.
Yeah, and I know we're trying to talk about the Jaguars, but I got to talk about the Giants for a second. Has anyone ruined a roster quicker than Dave Gettleman has ruined that roster? I mean, you trade away Odell Beckham. You pass on the quarterback last year only to draft Daniel Jones this year, and you spend a top 2 pick on a running back. Then you take a nose tackle at 17. The Giants have gotten significantly worse since he took over. And, it, again, directly impacts the Titans here. Josh Allen, a really good, really productive outside linebacker, falls right into the Jaguars' lap. So they get a blue-chip talent when, you know, they were rumored to take T.J. Hockenson or an offensive lineman there. So, yeah, hated seeing that. Just for the Jaguars' sake, because that defense got a lot better tonight.
All right, before we talk about the other two teams, first round closes out with the Patriots taking N'Keal Harry. So there is one receiver off the board, but there's still a bunch of guys there. So we'll see how that plays out tomorrow. All right, so then you have the Texans, who, you know, picked right at, or closely after the Titans. And I just, the Texans, man, they're special. Right, they needed an offensive lineman, so they got one of those. But it just seemed like they kind of went way off the board there with, I mean, a guy that I think, you know, has some potential. I don't know. It just seemed like there were better guys that they could have taken that do similar things.
Yes, the Texans really apparently hate Deshaun Watson. That's my takeaway there. I think they got sniped there from Andre Dillard. I think that's where they were going to go. Philadelphia moves up in front of them, grabs the tackle there, forces the Texans, you know, they've got to squirm there and figure out who they're going to pick. They ended up going with a project who was rumored to be, you know, somewhere in the second round. I'd even see him in the third round. So interesting selection there. They had to go offensive line. That's been the biggest need there for years. So they take a project there. I'm not sure if he's a day one guy. You know, Texans fans aren't going to be happy with that. But a guy with a lot of athletic ability, a lot of upside, but definitely doesn't solve their problem immediately.
Yeah, and then you got the Colts, who ended up trading out of the first round with the Redskins. So they traded back into the second round, picked up a 2 this year and a 2 next year. They could kind of afford to do that after the draft that they had last year. Really restocked that roster with talent and now loading up on more picks. And that's not – I mean, there are obviously, disadvantages to trading out of the first round. You don't get that fifth-year option and all that kind of stuff. But I don't like the idea of Ballard having extra picks there because he's just done such a good job with the ones he's had so far.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hated seeing that happen. Just kind of what he did last year. They had a ton of picks last season and hit on a lot of them and ended up flipping that terrible defense and turning it into a top half defense. So, Ballard is definitely a problem for the AFC South, building that roster around – Andrew Luck, already a ton of young talent there. So, that's scary.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was a fun first round, as the NFL draft always is. Always a lot of surprises and things that you didn't see coming. Really cool to see it in Nashville. Since, by all accounts, everything went off pretty flawlessly. There was a huge crowd down there. So, not surprised at all. That they've done a really good job, but just a good look for the city, and you like that for the city, for the Titans organization, because they had a big hand. Amy Adams Strunk had a big hand in getting it here, so it was cool to see the turnout and everything that was going on downtown.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the Preds pictures were awesome, but then seeing these, it just seemed like the crowd had quadrupled in size. And that picture the Titans tweeted out with Amy Adams Strunk, with the crowd behind her, that was awesome. Just kind of the culmination of all that work, having the uniform reveal and all that. Just really cool to see Nashville take another step forward. I think they're going to have to build a new stadium to get a Super Bowl or anything like that, but definitely, rain and all, they really performed on a big stage.
Yeah, and I think, the combination of the things that you mentioned, the Predators playoff stuff from a couple years ago and the uniform reveal, I think those two things really highlighted the turnout that Nashville can produce. And so I think those were really instrumental in getting the draft here. All right, so that'll do it for our show tonight. Like I said, a lot of stuff coming up, musiccitymiracles.com. We'll be writing on best players available. I'm sure we'll have second-round mocks tomorrow, all that kind of stuff to look at, so you can check that out. Again, follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertTN. The voicemail number, if you want to call and leave us a voicemail reaction to the Simmons pick or anything else that happened on night one, 615-787-8762. It was about a minute-long voicemail, and we will get to it on a show next week. Again, subscribe to the show, Locked On Titans. We'll have a ton of stuff coming out over the next couple of days. So hit that subscribe button. You'll get them as soon as they are available. For Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening to Locked On Titans, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.